Hi, friends. I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna. And this is the Growing Home Together podcast.
We're caring for the soul of your family, helping you grow closer to God
and each other. Thank you for joining us today for the Growing Home Together podcast. Now, when I was growing up, my family was small and my extended family was too far away to join us for the holidays. And Christmas was always sweet and simple with a church service and some takeout pizza and presents around the tree. And then I met and married Rob, whose family Christmas philosophy was to go big or go home.
Right. Christmas at my house was packed with a big family, a table piled with every kind of good food you can imagine. So many presents you could hardly cross the living room floor. And Joanna married into that experience. And now with our family, our Christmas takes on a lot more after my family's tradition at our home than what she grew up in.
Right. And I do remember early in how much pressure I felt to live up to his mom's amazing cooking and decorating and gifting and hosting. And, you know, she did so much and so cheerfully, and she made it look so easy. And now that we've been married for almost 30 years, I'm still asking myself how to carry on family traditions without wearing myself out or losing the heart of what Christmas is really all about.
Yeah, and that's why we're glad to have today's guest, Tama Fortner, to talk with us about how to create a joyful Christmas without all the crazy stress and expectations that can often come with it.
Right. Tama is a best-selling author, a ghostwriter with more than 40 titles to her credit, and she's been blessed to work with some of the biggest names in Christian publishing to create inspirational books for children, teens, and adults. And Tama and her husband are the parents of two kids, and they make their home in Tennessee. So thank you so much, Tama, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Tama, I'm so glad that you're here today. And, you know, before we jump in, can you just tell us a little bit about your own family and how you were led to write your new book called Simply Christmas, A Busy Mom's Guide to Reclaiming the Peace of the Holidays?
Yes. Yeah, so my family, it's Jeff, my husband. We've been married for 23 years. We kind of joke with each other that he's the left brain numbers guy. I'm the right brain word girl, and together we sort of kind of make a whole person. we have two kiddos. They are both in college now. Lauren is my senior. She's the artistic genius of the family. And my son, Kaylor, is the sports guy. He's a sophomore, but that's our core family. Mm-hmm. And Joanna, like you, when I started out, the pressure of Christmas, my goodness, to make it everything that I wanted it to be, everything I thought it should be. There was just so much pressure, and it was a process of learning that it didn't have to be that way. And looking back on those early years when my kids were little, I see some things I wish I had done differently. I see some lessons I actually did learn along the way. And so that's why I wanted to write Simply Christmas, to pass that along to the generation of moms that have those littles at home now, to give them permission to make Christmas their own celebration and not the pressured expectations that we sometimes put on ourselves.
Right. And, you know, to be honest with you, I am feeling that a little bit this year. You know, this year more than ever, I really do have a desire to make Christmas just beautiful for our family. Our very first grandbaby is due on Christmas Day, and we're going to have all five of our kids and the significant others at our home. And we're even hosting our middle daughter's boyfriend for the first time. And I want to make this year one to remember. But honestly, when I think about pulling off all the food and shopping and cleaning and decorating and everything, I'm already feeling that overwhelm inside of me. So what would you say to a mom like me who's feeling that way?
Oh, well, first of all, congratulations. That sounds like so much fun. And as you said, so much pressure. The lesson that I have learned the hard way is to focus on what is important. There's the verse, I think it's Luke 2:19, when Mary ponders all these treasures in her heart, And so that's where I would start. That's where I do try to start, is by pondering the treasures. And the treasures are the people. The treasures are that new grandbaby that's on the way. And realize that the memories are made around the people and not necessarily around the food. And sometimes the mistakes we make become the most precious memories. That the perfection is not only not really possible, but not even the most fun sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. So the burnt cookies are okay, right?
Burnt cookies are just fine. Store-bought cookies are just fine. You know, as long as it's got sugar in it, do we really care?
That's a very good point.
Yeah. You know, I know one thing I really appreciated in your book is, our family has certain traditions that, you know, we don't even think about. They've been going on for so long. And I always decorate the house with the lights, and we do stockings Christmas morning, so we make sure that's ready. And we each person in the family has kind of their list of snacks and foods that are a have to have for on the Christmas menu. But you know, our family doesn't look the same as it did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And you talk about in the book and have a devotion, I believe, where you talk about how sometimes our traditions change as our life experiences change. So can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I remember one of our favorite traditions was sprinkling out oats for the reindeer, for Santa's reindeer. The kids would trot out right before bed in their Christmas pajamas, and I would take pictures, and they would scatter the oats with glitter mixed in so that, you know, the reindeer could find them. And that was such a wonderful, fun time. And I wanted to keep creating that memory. But then I realized at some point along the way, there were more eye rolls mixed in with that than smiles. And it was time to let that one go and to change. I think we just have to kind of stay aware of where our life situation is, the age of our kids, what's working for us, what isn't working for us. And be willing to let go of things. Just because we've always done them doesn't mean we have to keep doing them.
Yeah, I found that encouraging and also a little bit humbling and convicting, because I realize sometimes I make some idols out of my traditions. And if things don't go exactly the way I think they should for the holiday, I can get a little grumpy about it, and it very quickly takes my eyes off of what Christmas is about, as you're talking about. So I appreciated those thoughts.
And I think that's something that happens to all of us. It's easy to get caught up in what we do and what we've always done. And it's not so easy to pause, especially when it's something that's precious to us and maybe has become less so to those around us.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we had some different holidays as the pandemic kind of impacted travel and maybe our usual celebrations and parties and concerts and everything over the last couple of years. And I think for a lot of us, we really are ready to just jump into all things Christmas this year. But, you know, that means that one word that's going to go hand in hand with Christmas is busy. And everybody I know faces that challenge of keeping Jesus in the center of their holiday. So what would you tell the family who wants to slow down with their kids and meditate on God's word during the season?
That whole concept of slowing down is something I absolutely love, but that is so hard to embrace, mm-hmm. especially at Christmas. I mean, you know, there are the school traditions, the plays, the family things, the shopping, there's just all the things. And there's a certain amount of that chaos that we can analyze and maybe eliminate a little bit, but there's also a certain amount that we just cannot really escape. But what I'm finding is that we can still embrace God in the middle of the chaos. There's a verse, I think it's Acts 17:28, when Paul is talking to the people in Athens about You know, it's in God that we live and move and have our being. And so we can live and move and have our being in Him, even in the chaos. It's just that remembering that He is always right here with us. And just simply saying His name, you know, Lord or Jesus, when the cookies are burning, when the shopping line is 3 miles long to check out, it helps me at least to recenter and remember who is in control and who is really important in this day and in any day.
Yeah, that's good. And I know your devotional was written with moms in mind, since they carry a lot of the load and seem to be running people to and fro to these different pageants and trying to keep everybody moving. You know, but for me as a husband, I love reading it too. First of all, the devotions are beautiful. And we can all use centering, spiritual centering during this time. But it was also helpful to see kind of how Joanna might be feeling and all the stress that she's under during this time. So do you have any advice on how we can, as husbands and fathers, can maybe help in that process, and how we can also help work more as a team during the holidays?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can tell you what my husband did and still does. It's just being willing to pick up where I've dropped the ball. you know, if I've forgotten something at the grocery, he's great to make that last minute run for me. He's great to sit and just brainstorm with me about what to get presents, what kind of presents to get, especially for his family. Just being present, just recognizing that it is a busy time and helping wherever he can. He actually cooks our Christmas breakfast. Thanksgiving, I do all the things, all the cooking, but Christmas, he takes over and steps in. And that's such a huge relief for me. I sit and read a book on the couch while he cooks Christmas breakfast. It's great.
That is great.
So it's just the little things and the noticing that I'm running. That's been the hugest help to me, I believe.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we're starting to kind of try to even invite our older kids into that, where they can take a couple things off the menu and make that happen, or they can run to the post office, or just that little bit of pitching in. And I almost feel like that makes them feel like it's their Christmas too. They're not just showing up for an event that someone created for them. It's all of ours. So yeah, I hear what you're saying. And as far as Rob goes, this might be silly, but the toughest thing for me to face at Christmas is baking all those cutout cookies that you have to roll and cut and frost and sprinkle. And it's 20,000 steps and it destroys the kitchen. And there's just something about that that just feels like too much. And for years now, Rob's just raised his hand and said, I'm doing that. And so he takes it on, and I go somewhere far, far away and come back to all these really cute cookies. So thanks, Rob. You've taken something really big off my plate.
Anytime.
Yeah,
but it's fabulous. I need to get you to give my husband baking lessons, because that's not my favorite thing either.
Well, probably Joanna after this is going to maybe sign me up for some breakfast over the holidays now. So
you know your way around the kitchen. But you know, I do think as far as couples go, that one thing we can face is just a real mismatch in our expectations. I mean, couples might argue about their budget for the gifts, or how many social events they want to attend, or which set of in-laws they're going to visit. So how do you think, and how in your experience, can a husband and a wife move closer together in their hopes for the holidays?
You know, that's one way I've been very blessed in Jeff. He is a planner and a budgeter. So almost from the first year we were married, we set out with our calendar, this is where we're going and what we have to do, the family obligations. And as an accountant, he had a budget. And, you know, we negotiated a little bit on that. It's like, babe, I can't really get a gift for that money. But So yeah, communication, just setting that out. Around the 1st of December is when we do all our calendar and plan everything out. And it just makes everything so much easier as the unexpected comes along, as the little irritations comes along, that you've at least got that base plan to fall back to, knowing what each other expects. And you, of course, have to roll with it sometimes. But that communication, I think, has been key for us.
Hey there, friends. We'll get back to the show in just a second, but I'm excited to tell you about a wonderful marriage resource that Rob and Joanna have for you. Rob and Joanna Tigan have been married for almost 30 years and have experienced every kind of high and low in their life together. But if they had to name the biggest lesson they've ever learned as a married couple, it's that a close relationship with God helps them have a close relationship with each other. And on the flip side, if they move farther away from God, they are sure to experience a growing distance from each other too. That's why they are so passionate to help couples draw closer to God and each other every day. Rob and Joanna have created a powerful tool for you to use in your marriage. It's called Mr. and Mrs. 366 Devotions for Couples. This gorgeous book gives you an inspiring scripture, a word of teaching and encouragement, and a prayer to lift up together every day of the year. The daily topics cover every part of your life together, whether it's financial or parenting stress, conflict or communication, or the intimacy and oneness you're longing to grow between you. Now, today you may be feeling distant or discouraged. Maybe your faith has been tested by the stress of this past year, or maybe you're feeling lonely and unsupported in your relationship. It's incredible how connecting with God and each other through a daily devotional can transform your marriage and give you hope. You can find Mr. and Mrs. 366 Devotions for Couples at growinghometogether.com or wherever books are sold. Check out the link in the show notes for easy access to the book on Amazon. Now, back to the show.
And I know for us too, like you're saying, communicating about the plan is a huge deal because surprises just come with their own level of stress. Like, oh, I didn't know that was important to you, or I didn't see that coming, or whatever. And I know for Rob and I, like we said in the beginning, we did come into our married life with very different expectations. I was used to small and quiet, and he was used to a big party with just a lot of activity ongoing. And it was really fun, but just so different. And so trying to blend all of that together into our own home took some intentional communicating, just like you're saying.
And that blending can be so hard. When my husband and I first married, we were blessed that all our grandparents were still alive, but that meant so many celebrations to go to. And while that was priceless and I treasure those times, it was really hard. I think we went to maybe 7 or so, in just a couple of 3 days with little toddlers in tow and then, you know, older kids as they grew up, but it was just really hard. So that blending and communication is even more essential.
Yeah. And, you know, I think to your point, I think one of the things that adds to that stress over the holidays and that pressure is when I look at social media feeds and it looks like everybody else has kind of the picture perfect holiday. And, you know, all their families are smiling and the food on the table looks amazing and their homes look like an something out of HGTV, you know, and so that sense of keeping up or that perfectionism. So any thoughts on how we can deal with the performance pressure that we feel over the holidays?
You know, this is a lesson that I've learned the hard way. I tried to do all those things, and I still try to do some of those things to achieve a certain level of perfection with the centerpiece or the decor or the presents. But I challenge myself, and I would challenge others to think back about your favorite Christmas memories and what you really remember. I remember all the grandkids gathered around their grandmother as she read the Christmas story when they were tiny. And as they grew, as they took turns reading the Christmas story themselves, I remember laughing. I remember the lights of the Christmas tree. I don't really remember what the food looked like when it first came out onto the table. I don't really remember how perfect the bow was. And I think when we look ahead to Christmas, we get caught up in that pressure to be perfect. But when we look back on Christmas, we remember what's really important. And so maybe if we can carry that image into our Christmas plans instead of the perfection, that would help us to have a more peaceful Christmas.
That is such a good reminder. You know, that immediately stirred up memories for me as you challenged us to do that. There was one year that we were able to have Christmas at my grandmother's house, and my sweetest memory was just sitting on my mother's lap, surrounded with everyone, looking at the beautiful tree, and my mom was playing with my hair. And I just remember this sense of joy and just being so calm and peaceful and just feeling so loved. And you're right, it had nothing to do with what my grandma had placed on the dinner table that night or how many presents I had under the tree. I wasn't even thinking about it. It was just the love, like you're saying. So thank you for that.
Well, and peace and joy and love that you're saying there. I mean, is that not what Christmas is really all about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and when we were getting ready for this time with you and reading through your great devotional, and it actually stirred us to talk about what is it actually that our kids, you know, because our kids get very excited about Christmas. They can't wait to share it with, you know, our daughter with her boyfriend and things, because we do make it a big deal and a big celebration. But we started asking, so what is it that the kids love about the holidays and our family being together and things like that? So it was really neat as we were going through that to just really reflect and think, what were our priorities and what are their priorities and what is important to us as a family? So thanks for that.
Well, you know, anybody who knows us knows that hospitality is kind of our thing. We have a revolving door with kids and friends who come to visit or stay. And so I love that in your book, you say that hospitality and joy are key ingredients of the Christmas season. But honestly, opening our doors does require an extra amount of work. So what are some ways that we can bless the people who come through the door without burning ourselves out?
My goal when someone comes into my home is for them to feel at home. And I've actually come to realize that a little bit of imperfection actually makes people feel more at home. I don't think we have to have every smidgen of clutter put away or every fingerprint, you know, rubbed off the windows or the doors. I think a smile, I think a hug, a come in, make yourself comfortable, kick your shoes off kind of attitude. I think that is more essential than what we do with our decor or with how we clean. You know, obviously we want it to be, you know, neat enough that the health department isn't going to be called out. But I think we worry about all the wrong things. I had a friend visit for the first time not too long ago. She lives out of state, but she came in and kicked off her shoes. And after about 10 minutes, she just felt comfortable enough to go grab herself a snack. And then she stretched out on the couch and she said, "I just feel so comfortable here." And I was like, this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. I wanted a place where people aren't worried that if they knock over their drink, they're going to ruin a rug, or if they spill something or break something, that it's going to be a terrible thing. It's the people, not the stuff, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And that's just a beautiful way to look at it. So I don't know exactly what your Christmas is going to look like this year, Tama, with your family, but I was wondering, for the season that you're in your life, is there one particular devotion in your book that is holding the most meaning for you right now?
I am caught up these days in this concept of how God sees us wherever we are, that He is El Roi. And so there is a devotion about that. It's on the eighth day of the book. And would you like me to read that? Or?
Oh, we'd love to hear that. Yes.
All right. Of all the many wonders of God, there is one that never ceases to amaze me. never ceases to steal my breath away and make my soul sing. And it is this, the God of all creation, the God who flung the stars into the sky, who holds the oceans in his hand, who used the birth of a tiny babe in Bethlehem to sound the death knell on sin and death, is mindful of me. You, me, each of us, our Lord is El Roi, the God who sees me, the same God who saw Hagar lost in the desert and desperation, who saw the disgraced Samaritan slipping to the well in the heat of the day, and who saw the woman thrown down in the dirt of sin and chose to lift her to life with his grace. The almighty, all-powerful, always loving God counts the stars in the skies, the hairs on your head, and the tears you slip away and try to hide. And like Mary, with that sweet and certain knowledge tucked into your heart, your spirit can rejoice in God, your Savior. He is El Roi, the God who sees, knows, and adores you, and he is mindful of you.
That is just such a beautiful thought to sit in. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And you know, we really appreciate that you're offering all of us just a taste of freedom, really, from the pressures that we can feel this time of year. And your book is just a breath of fresh air. So for those listening, what is one thing that you hope we will all take away from this talk together and from your book, Simple Christmas?
I hope that readers take away permission to make this Christmas your own kind of celebration, permission to set aside worries about what everyone else thinks and perfection, and permission to soak in moments with the Savior, to direct your family, to direct your thoughts back to him. Because that really, you know, not to be cliche, but that's the reason for the season, and not just for the season, but for every single day, every moment of our lives, is to just soak in him. And so I hope that's what readers are able to take away from this book.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Before we close, I'm sure there are friends listening who are feeling stressed about the holidays and just the extra pressure that's put on their shoulders, or maybe missing loved ones this year. I mean, it could be a lot of things, but would you be willing to pray for us that we're able to simplify our holidays and receive what God wants to give us this year?
Absolutely. Lord God, you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. And I pray that we would never cease to marvel at that wonderful truth, that you, the Lord, the ruler, the creator of all the universe, choose to step into our lives to bless us with your love and grace and mercy. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see you at work in this day and in this season. I pray that you would teach us to pause and to ponder the wonder of you, that you would help us to see what truly matters and what can be set aside. And I pray that you would guide us as we seek to pass on our love for you and our faith in you to our children. We just love you, Lord, and we pray that you would help us to love you more. And it's in your most holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I know our friends are going to want to get a hold of a copy of your Simple Christmas for themselves, and I and also the other resources that you would have available. Where could they go to connect with you online?
Yes, so Simply Christmas is available at all your favorite retailers, but the easiest place to find me and links to all those retailers is at just tamfortner.com. Everything is there, the books, some other articles and resources. So I'd love for them to check me out there.
Yeah, and I visited your site. It is absolutely gorgeous, and there's so much rich stuff to be found. So I know I'm going to be heading back to your site quite a bit. You know, Tamla, we're just so grateful for your encouragement today and that we could share this time with you. And Rob and I truly hope that you and your family have a beautiful Christmas together.
And I pray the same for you and yours and that new grandbaby. Congratulations again. Oh,
thank you. We're so excited.
Yes. And thank you, friends, for joining us today on the Growing Home Together podcast. We'd love to connect with you over on the website at growinghometogether.com. We have all kinds of resources to help you get closer as a couple, pray for your kids. And we've got a huge collection of fun books for kids that might just add some laughter to your holidays and make a great stocking stuffer too. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And we're growing home together with you. Bye-bye.
Bye.